You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Air Up There by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
All right, Matthew the 20th chapter. This message is called The Air Up There. Matthew 20, starting verse 20, it says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? Jesus said, what you want? She said, can you grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom? But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, look, without hesitation, we are able. And he said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given for them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. When the other disciples, how these folk going to ask Jesus, can they sit on the left hand or right hand? Who they think they are? They were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Sometimes we ask for things without fully knowing or understanding what we even asking for. We don't understand the price that got to be paid to either obtain that and the price to maintain that. We just ask because we get a hold of one scripture. Ask and you shall receive. Add another one to it. Ask not. You have not because you ask not. Get a hold of another. Whatsoever you ask, you receive. And not really fully knowing what we're asking for. In this scripture, these two mama boys. If you've grown, your mama gonna go talking for you all the time. You still a mama's boy. Let me tell you, mamas and even daddies, when your kid's grown, you got to coach from the sidelines. When my son was a freshman, his first year in college playing, and he turned the ball over. He was the all-time leading rebounder for Queens University. And his freshman year, coach got up. And I said all that to say, at one point, he was the all-time. He was leading in turnovers, too. And he had turned the ball over, and the coach got in his face, and I'm sitting there. It took everything from in me. This ain't your child. You better back up off my son. But I had to learn to coach from the sidelines. He's a grown man now. I can't be running in there yelling at the coach in the middle of the game. Okay? Like that guy who wanted to go after the abuser. Can I just have 2 minutes with him? 5 minutes. How about three? How about two? How about right now? Sometimes you got to hold your mule. But these boys' mama decide y'all come here. And she said to G, we got something we need to ask you. He said, what you want? Can you make my sons, when you enter your kingdom, which they thought was going to be an earthly kingdom, they thought Jesus was going to ride in on a horse, overthrow the Roman government, and set up the new Israeli kingdom. So when you do that, can you make one of my sons your vice president and the other one the secretary of state? And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know the price you got to pay to sit on my left hand and on my right hand. You don't know what it takes to be that close to me. You know, one of Pastor Marsh and I's dilemma is a lot of y'all, you want us to counsel you, you want us to mentor you, and then you get close, then you get mad. Because, see, some of y'all, the best thing to do is just to get the word from afar. Because you get closer, we see closer. When you get closer, I see, oh, your skin ain't that clear. That's makeup. No, I'm using it as an analogy. I see the stuff you've been covering up from afar. We see the details, and everybody's not ready for that. And so, and you know, people want marriage counseling. And then you come to marriage counseling, and we found that your particular issue, now you're bad because we didn't side with you, and now you leave the church. When the best thing you should have did was to show up for the marriage conference and get it generally, and then we wouldn't have known it was you with yourself itself. He said, you don't know what you're asking for to be that close to me. He said, because later on the scripture lets us know what it takes to be on his left hand and right. He says, and they didn't know what he was talking about. He said, if you suffer with me, then you'll reign with me. If you go through with me, then you'll rule with me. They wanted to rule with him without fully understanding that you're going to rule with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. If you're going to be rewarded with me, you're going to have to go through the price to get the reward. You don't know what you're asking for. So he asked him quickly, he said, are you able to drink a cup that I'm going to drink and be baptized with what I'm baptized with? Now, they didn't fully understand, even when Jesus later on told them, they didn't believe it. Peter tried to rebuke them when he said, I'm going to suffer many things. They're going to take me, they're going to prosecute me and persecute me and beat me, and then they're going to kill me. And Peter said, no, Jesus, that ain't going to never happen to you. And that's what Jesus was talking about here. He said, were you able to drink of the cup? This cup is the cup of death. This is the cup that Jesus cries out to the Father in John 17 while he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and says, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's some other way that we could save humanity from their sins without me dying on the cross with nails in my hands and nails in my feet and stuck with a spear through my side and thorns going down into my brain, can we do this some other way? Nevertheless, not as my will, but as ours. That was the cup. The baptism, he's talking about, is the baptism of suffering. So Jesus said, oh, you want, he said, are you willing to die for what you believe? And are you willing to suffer and be persecuted to follow me? And they quickly, because he's still talking in symbolism, he talking about cups and baptism. Sure, I'll drink the cup. They think it's just a nice cup of juice. They don't know what's in the cup. Whew, Jesus. A lot of folks want the cup, but you don't know what's in the cup. The cup can look pretty. The cup could look shiny. The cup could be a status symbol in the Catholic Church, especially, and some of our Protestant churches may use it too, okay? But they'll have all of y'all may get the little cups, the little plastic cups, perhaps, that we gave you for communion. But the pastor, the preacher, drinks from a big gold chalice. Some people may say, I won't drink from that cup. And they don't know the price it takes to have that cup. They don't know the responsibility that goes with that cup. So they said quickly, sure, we want the cup. And you want to be baptized? Yeah, I'm willing to be baptized. They're not knowing he's talking about the cup of death, the cup of suffering. And Jesus looked at him, and I could see him almost going, boy, I hear my mother-in-law words in my ear. Y'all just young and dumb. That's what my mother-in-law told me when I told her I was going to want to marry her daughter. And my name may not be Bailey. My name may not be Paul Getty. My name may not be Rockefeller. My name may not be Kennedy. But my name is Herbert Bailey Jr. I have a vision for my life, and I'm going to take care of your daughter. Most women would say, oh, that's something. My mother-in-law said, yeah, you're young and dumb. She said, you don't even know what you talk about. You don't even know what it requires to take care of family. You don't really know. This sounds real good, and you just caught up in your emotions of love. And you don't really know what it's going to take to send 4 kids to college debt-free. It sounds good. It looked good, but you don't even know the responsibilities. Can I tell you this? As much as you may hear, there's some things you only know when you're in it. When I was assistant pastor in Oklahoma, my pastor would confide in me a lot and ask my opinion about. He would go out to lunch, and then sometimes I gave my opinion when I wasn't asked. Okay, which you ain't supposed to do, so don't y'all try it. And he would look at me sometime and say, Herb, he said, you can say that as the second man. He said, you speaking as the second man. The first man sees at a whole nother level than the second man. He said, it's easy for you to make those decisions or just tell me what I ought to do, because if it don't work out, you gone on like I was. I was there 3 years, then I'm on to South Carolina. And so sometimes you got to know what it takes and be able to think through your decision. Certain things you only know once you're in it. People can try to at least make you conscious that you may face this, but what you're going to do in the situation is going to be tested at that moment. Do you know what you're asking for? Jesus says to them, he said, yeah, you're right. You're going to, verse 23, you're going to indeed drink of my cup. He said, you're going to have to die and you don't even know it yet. Yeah, you're gonna drink to my baptism. You're gonna suffer my baptism. You're gonna suffer, and you don't even know yet how you're gonna have to suffer. And Jesus had insight. He said, but let me go on to tell you this. Let me deal with this. He said, you're gonna go through that. You don't even realize what you're gonna go through, but you're gonna go through it. He said, but to sit on my right hand and my left, that ain't up to me. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, the Lord dealt with me with this just as I read it before I came out this morning in my study. He said, you are asking for something that the Father has reserved who that's going to. You're asking for something that even if you ask, you very possibly may not receive, because it's not yours. Now people don't deal with this. We've been telling y'all to pursue. We've been telling y'all to go forward. We've been telling y'all to possess. But you got to know, you can only go forward to where you're supposed to be going. You can only pursue what God has for you. You can only possess what God has laid up for you. So Jesus said, just because you're asking, you may not necessarily receive that. Let me use some South Carolina talk, because that ain't yours. That ain't yours. That don't belong to you. Sometimes we ask him for stuff. God said, that's real good. I know you got great faith. But that ain't yours. That ain't your purpose. That's not what I got in store for you. So he says, there's certain things that he's going to be given to him who is prepared of my Father. There's certain things that God has prepared for you. And it's something God got prepared for somebody else. Now, I'm content. I'm content. God's blessed me. Okay, I don't lack anything. But every time I go out on my boat, there's a house. And if you ever go with me, if I ever took you on a ride, I will probably take you to this house. See that house right there? Man, I like that house. I really. And my house almost looked like a smaller replica of that house. But one of the first places I go out to the lake, I look at that house. And one day I said, Lord, give me that house. And I heard the other scripture say, thou shalt not covet. So then I changed my prayer. I said, God, if it would be your will and that house becomes available, I wouldn't mind having that house. Now, here's the other thing. The truth is, I don't know what I ask. You know why? Because I ain't been in that house. You better preach, her. I'm looking at that house from the outside. It looked pretty. It looked big. Well, I said, every now and then, I hope I don't get arrested, I just take a ride. I go out on a boat. Every now and then, I take a ride, and I ride down the front of that house. It got a big gate and a big circular driveway, and I just, one day I ride by, it looked like, you know, in certain neighborhoods, when you look like me, you got to be careful. But I don't know what I'm really asking. It's very possible it looked better on the outside than it does on the inside. It's possible that it got a smaller kitchen than I think I need, than I already have right now. It's possible that I don't want to pay that much in utilities. Sometimes we're asking, we don't know what we're asking for. There's a poem. I looked it up. Somebody heard it before. The poem is not anonymous. Somebody wrote it. They don't know who wrote it. It's kind of become public domain now. It's called I Ask God. And the poem says, I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me brawn and brain to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for patience. God placed me in situations where I was forced to wait. I asked for love, and God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted, but I received everything I needed. My prayer has been answered. That's another perspective for us to look at things. Because sometimes Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. Many don't realize what's required for the next level. My subtopic is the capacity for the next level. Many people really don't know what's required for the next level. I want that job. I want that promotion. I want a husband. I want a big family. There's a, watch this. Single people or people with no children, how many of y'all want twins? Put your hand, come on. How many of y'all want twins? See, y'all don't want to say nothing. There's a couple of folks raised their hand. See? Somebody over here kind of raised their hand like this. Because they think I'm getting really embarrassing. There's a family in our church. Their twins are grown now, but they came to church when the kids, two boys, was real small. And so they would, you know, people would come up to them all the time and say, oh, you got twins? I want twins. I want twins. They would say that all the time. And boy, she would go off. You need to know what you're asking for. You don't just ask for no twin. You don't just ask for twins. You don't even know what you're asking for. I'm like, she having a hard time. That twins sound cute, but I done had one at a time. When I done had one at a time, the baby would wake up and I would go, babe, the baby crying. You don't have that option when you got twins. Because when one baby cried, the other baby cried. Both of y'all got to get up. Okay. You ain't got nothing for them to suck on, but you just hold them close. Twins require double work. Twins require double money. Twins require double formula. Twins require being in school at the same time. Twins require two being in college at the same time. Are you listening to me? And sometimes stuff looks so cute, you don't know what you're asking. Do you have that capacity? One child is driving you insane. Talking about the children blessing from the Lord. The children bless. I'm tired of hearing that scripture. Children are blessed from the Lord. They don't know my child. Children are blessed from the Lord. And the Bible says even two are better than one. Many don't know what's required for the next level. Call this the air up there. Pastor Marshall first said this years ago. We asked for stuff. We asked for prosperity. We asked for big family. We asked for big ministry. We asked for a big car. We asked for a big house. We want that. We want this. And you got your BMW. You got your Mercedes. You got your Jaguar. And even though it says only put premium gas in there, you still pulling up, riding around town, looking for the cheapest gas you can find and putting the lowest grade in there. You wasn't ready for that vehicle. You want to look good. I told y'all that I was watching this thing. They had on 60 Minutes I think $300 million car. Yes, $300 million car. They did a special on 60 Minutes. What is it? The Bugatti? Bugatti, 300, and they were talking about all the things you could buy. And so the person interviewing the person from Bugatti Corporation, who the $300 million car, the person interviewing him asked him, he said, how many miles per gallon? The man looked at him and said, I don't know. We haven't even factored that in. Know why? Because if you weren't about how many miles, what in the heck you looking at a three? He said, that ain't the questions you need to be asking. A certain level, certain things got to be settled. You don't hear me? Certain level, certain things got to be settled. That ain't even a question. So you got to be prepared to breathe the air up there. How many of us have heard of Mount Everest? I believe Mount Everest is supposed to be like the tallest mountain in the world. Let me read you some stuff about Mount Everest, talking about this air up there. When they reached the top of Mount Everest, which is a height of 29,029 feet. Now, y'all need to understand, the average commercial plane flies at 30,000 feet.
Many of us want to go to the next level. The question is, are we able to withstand the air at the next level? Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that going higher in your purpose may require you to breathe a little differently. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for the air up there.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.